podcast.
Bring your friends.
All right. And we're here. Here we are. Here we are.
We have to apologize for the last episode we put out.
Yes. Some of you
may not have got it.
Only 16 people saw it before it got taken down from YouTube and from everywhere.
It was a three-letter agency that sent it.
NBC basically sent us a few emails because we utilized the SNL clip for a little bit too long. So lesson learned. That's just not going to happen again. It is what it is. To everybody listening, thank you so much for all the support. We're almost up to 500 subs. So that's the goal that we're trying to break for this year. Slowly but steady. We have a couple good guests coming up on the podcast. One of them is going to be Colonel Schaefer, which for those of you that don't know who Colonel Schaefer is, he was one of the guys who blew the whistle on the whole September 11th thing. We also have Pete Turner coming, who is a old Army counterintelligence guy. And I think he used to work with a three-letter agency. We also have a couple other guests coming that are pretty interesting, too. The guy that we're actually going to have today, we've known this dude, I think, for years now. We're just going to go ahead and bring him up in. Like, what up?
I love it. You're talking about all these interesting guests and then you bring on my ass.
No, don't say that. don't take it. Odd from the Cult of Odd, everybody.
Yeah. What's up?
How's that not interesting? Your name is Odd. How's that not?
You know, I'm one of the few people that was able to pick his own nickname and have it stick.
Yeah, it's unusual. It's very unusual.
Dude, we've known each other for what, like 2 years, I think now?
Yeah, 2 years now.
Yeah, it was, how did we meet? Oh, God, I remember now how we met. Mm-hmm. I remember through.
The one that should not be named.
Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah. You know who. Know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't need to bring light to that. It's
fuck Bruno. We ain't talking about him.
We're just podcasters.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yep. It's not like Aaron.
We just talk.
Yeah, we just talk, man. That's all I do. Dude, I got to tell you, I love that you do a lot of, and you've been doing this for like 10 years now, right? You've been
more
like
than that. Over 15. Over 15. Yeah. I started in 2007.
Holy shit. So tell me about that. Talk to me about that.
I mean, nobody knew what the fuck a podcast was back then. You know, I got into it because I was commenting on a MySpace blog. There's a fucking blast from the past, ain't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I forgot about MySpace.
I was commenting on a MySpace blog that fed a podcast at the time. And every time I commented on the topics that they would put up, the host always got a response from the shit I was saying when she relayed on the air. And this went on for probably about a year, and then they offered me my own show, and I was like, you know what, in high school I wanted two career paths. I either wanted to be in radio or I wanted to be a mortician. And
how the fuck are those similar, Eric?
That was sarcasm. I don't know if you know the English language that well.
Yeah. So the radio thing presented itself, so I took the ball and ran with it.
So since you started out like 15 years ago, did Joe Rogan ever call you up and say, give you some tips? Or
No. Fuck Joe Rogan.
The views expressed on this episode do not represent.
They represent my feelings. Fuck Joe Rogan.
Why do you not like him?
He's in the realm of Alex Jones for me, right? Like, it's just, he knows. Okay, so here's the thing. We talk shit on my show, but we let the audience know we're talking shit, right? Like, we know some of the things that we talk about are just utter bullshit. I feel Joe Rogan tries to present bullshit, and this is the same problem I have with Alex Jones, Michael Moore, any of those talking heads. They know what they're presenting is bullshit, but they don't present it as bullshit. And
I think some of the stuff,
anybody takes Joe Rogan seriously on some of the stuff he says.
Oh, not on a lot of the stuff he says, but I get what he's saying. Like what he's starting to talk about is like some of the stuff that they present. It's like so over so over it that it's like, come on now. But a lot of the stuff that he said was true though. Like over the years, like the Epstein thing, mm-hmm. the whole pedophile ring, the fucking yeah. rituals and shit.
I'll tell you what, a blind squirrel will find a nut once in a while too.
A blind squirrel will find a nut.
He doesn't pretend to be. He's a comedian with a podcast. That's what he seems to present.
So. I don't know him, so I like some of his episodes. No, I get it. I like some of his episodes.
When he provides like, a straightforward interview, golden, right?
Yeah.
When it's just a straightforward interview, he is one of the top in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Rest of it, I ain't got much of an interest in. But it's a personal opinion, right? You know?
Yeah. But anyways, odd said it, fuck Rogan.
Fuck Rogan. Fuck Jones.
This is gonna be like the Cat Williams interview.
Yeah, I just don't want Spotify
sending letters. That would be it right there, bro. It's like you have indicated that it's like, all right, well, it is what it is.
He does not like
it. Eh. I'll fight him. I'll
look,
watch.
If Joe Rogan loses sleep over the fact that I said fuck Joe Rogan, then he ain't as big as he thinks.
He ain't as big as he is. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. You get to a point. I mean, I think you get to a point in life that you're just like, just shut the fuck up. Okay, cool, no problem. Yeah, that's your opinion. Bye. Like some people get too strung up on, oh well, this person does this, that's why I don't like that person. Well, this person does that. Like some people are like that. We know a few people like that they always have an opinion on somebody when they're doing something better. Like,
well, they're not full that of that's themselves. You. No, I'm just a podcaster.
I would. Eric, go ahead. You have a question. I'm clipping that.
So what, when you started your own show, what was the premise when you started back after they said, hey, we want to give you a show or a podcast? What was, you know,
honestly, I didn't have a premise. It was just, let me try to put this together, something that, you know, I find entertaining and hope to hell that other people do. The first episode I did was about cartoon theme songs and the commercials and shit that we saw on Saturday morning cartoons. But yeah, there was never really any premise in the beginning. It was just, let me see what works. It was a lot of testing the waters for like the first 3 years.
Mm. Okay, so you just didn't have an idea. You're just like, I'll just start talking and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide on the cultural like the oddities and stuff like that, like the occult and stuff? Like, what made you sit with that? Because that seems to be a very common theme. And here's why I'm asking you this. We have a friend that you guys should meet. His name's Danny Gonzalez. Him and his brother just started like a Spanglish podcast about oddness and like UFOs and stuff like that, and it seems to be doing like, it's doing very well for them. And it seems that that's a theme that everybody's, especially in the past like 4 years, everybody's been highly interested in it. Like, what made you decide on that?
Well, so here's the thing. I've always been interested in the unknown. I read books all growing up about UFOs, ghosts, all that shit, you know. I was a kid that grew up watching Unsolved Mysteries, you know, watched The X-Files, watched all this random shit, you know, about the weird and the unexplained. So it's always been a part of my own personal interests. But over the last year and a half is when we really kind of leaned into it. It came down to the matter of the fact of, I kept doing the same thing for so long, working with independent bands and playing their music and whatnot, and then just coming up with topical shit to talk about in between music breaks. And that stopped working. It didn't have the numbers that it did. So we started getting into talking to like independent filmmakers and horror movie stars and stuff like that. And that worked for a little bit, but then, you know, it fell off again. And I was like, well, let's try what I'm actually interested in. Let's see if we throw that against the wall and it sticks. So we, the show that I've run over the years has changed in names. In fact, Rico, when we met, I was doing the Odd Pod.
Yeah.
And, that's a funny story. So we were doing the Odd Pod and whatnot. And I had started joking with my one co-host that one of the things I wanted to try and pull off, because a lot of the times it's just wild ideas that come to me and I just want to see if I can do it. I had started the idea of trying to create my own religion just for the fuck
of it. Wait, hold on. What the fuck? Before you go on,
like
what?
Hubbard,
yeah, like
write a book.
What would you? What would be the? Hold on, let me see how I want to ask this, because I want to ask this. Would your religion have cocaine and hookers, or what's your religion about?
I mean, like, I wouldn't shit on somebody if they enjoyed cocaine and hookers.
No acceptance.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, the original idea was to build a religion based around music, because in my mind, music is the one thing that seems to transcend all. It doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus, Jehovah, if you believe in space aliens or whatnot. Music is the one thing that I see that kind of brings us all together, right? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter whether it's rap or classical or rock or whatnot, you will find people from all walks of life that enjoy musical genres. So originally the idea was to create a religion based around music, and where church is just, we all get together and share our favorite songs. No judgment. We don't shit on somebody just because they like Taylor Swift or they like fucking Nickelback or whatever. We sit
unless
together.
They're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a go sports ball. I don't know. Yeah, like I'm
go sports ball.
Go sports
no, I'm
ball.
Kidding. In my house, I'm a Ravens fan. And my wife's a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, but the point. Around
temples. If they had bad music, they would have less members.
Oh God, help me. I know. I knew this. Go ahead. I'm gonna let that.
Anyways, so the point was is to, you know, like create this religion and music being the cornerstone of it. You know, we share music with each other all the time, and sometimes when we share songs with each other, it does tend to bring us a little bit closer, right? Especially like if you are comfortable enough with the person you're sharing the music with to explain why that song means something to you. And so that was the basic idea. And I actually started running this down, and my co-host looked at me. He's like, you're going to start a cult. He's like, aren't you?
The name of your church though?
I don't remember at this moment.
I'm not getting another fucking letter because of you, asshole.
I honestly don't remember. I have it saved somewhere, but it's a far gone thing at this point. You know, he looked at me, he's like, you're going to start a cult, aren't you? I was like, no, it's not going to be a fucking cult. I don't want your wives. I don't want your money. And I was like, well, I kind of want your money, but not in the typical cult fashion.
Well, I mean, you know, we got to share, I guess, you know, we all got to share.
Yeah. But so he was going away on a trip with his brother to cross country, and he was going to be gone for 3 months. Over the course of the time that he was gone, I switched from the Odd Pod to the Cult of Odd. And when he came back, he was like, I told y'all this motherfucker was going to start a cult, and he didn't even try to fucking hide it. He's calling it a cult.
Kind of like the government.
Yeah. No. But the basic idea behind the Cult of Odd is still kind of rooted in that idea of trying to build a religion where the Latin that's in our logo, it says, come as you are, be who you are.
And the logo's on the upper right here. We can see.
There it is. Anyways.
You got it.
So that's the basic idea of what I do now is like, it doesn't matter what you believe in. It doesn't matter who you are as a person necessarily, as long as you're not a fucking asshole. Because we do try to keep it welcoming and inviting, but everybody is welcome to join the Cult of Odd when we're doing a show. You know, if you're interested in what we're talking about, great. If you just want to hang out and have somewhere to not feel alone for a little bit, cool. We got 2 hours of crazy people in the chat room. You know, come hang out with us. But
you do it live, so you can get reactions immediately from whatever the you are on.
Yeah, we broadcast through Twitch.
Oh, through Twitch. Okay.
That's interesting. Do you see a lot of movement on Twitch? Because we've thought about like heading up to Twitch, but it's like with some of the stuff we say, I think in the cigars too. Like when we smoke cigars too, I don't think it would fly.
Mark, well, so what you would have to do first is you definitely have to mark your show as 18 and up.
18, yeah. Which we do on YouTube.
Yeah. The other thing is too is it is a grind on Twitch because like in the beginning there's not really a way to make money at it. You know, you have to do it for a while, get the fan base to follow you. You have to have a certain number of followers. You have to have an average number of viewers in your chat and whatnot. But once you hit partner, you can then institute like the subscriptions. You can get tied in through Amazon Prime subs. You can take donations. You can even put little things in that they can use what are known as bits to play sounds or make things happen on the screen. One of my favorite things is when I'm doing RP for Grand Theft Auto. If I go into a city and I want to hunt around for the secrets that are in the city, they don't want you to broadcast that. So what I do is I switch the stream to subscriber only.
And why wouldn't you? Because I have a channel on TikTok that I do that stuff, and I play. You probably don't know what this game is, Remnant 2.
No, I know Remnant. Yeah.
You know Remnant? Yeah. Have you played the second one?
Mm-mm.
Bro, Eric, I'm gonna get Eric to jump on it on PlayStation. It's good. It's so fucking like the game is the. I don't mean to sound have you played a Chronos or Remnant 1 or 2?
I've not played either of those, but I am aware of them.
Yeah. So the basic premise for the people, because this will be good to clip and it'll be good to talk about. So the basic premise of Remnant is basically where we spoiler, hold on. Go ahead, give the thing about the spoiler alert, because you do it better.
Yeah, we're about to whole plot and the strategy of the whole game.
If you don't want to listen from this point on, just know we do that because we've gotten I don't know if this happened to you, we've gotten a lot of emails where people are like, oh, I didn't want to know that. Now you fucking know. So Remnant basically started out as Chronos before whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And basically what it was humanity got tricked into opening this gateway with this stone and killing this dragon, and then the fucking root came in and took over. So in Remnant from the Ashes, which is the second game from the series, you basically are out trying to destroy it. And then on the third one, which it's not over because the DLC, the Awakened King came out, basically you're going out trying to deal with the remnants of like what's happening and stuff like that. Yeah. But it's so good because what I like about that game is it really feels like when you're playing, like you're out with the homies in Apocalypse, especially if you play the game in Nightmare Apocalypse mode. It's good. I've never really been a big fan of GTA. Like it's really hard for me to like get into GTA and stuff like that.
So like I feel you on the get hard to get into GTA. Actually, I want to pause. I can barely hear Eric, by the way.
You can barely hear Eric?
Yeah.
Then we have an issue that we need to solve. Keep talking. I'll fix this over here.
Anyways, when it comes to GTA, I kind of got bored with GTA Online. And then my wife told me about GTA RP. And she showed me some videos and whatnot. And I RP, the role play aspect of it, really breathed new life into Grand Theft Auto for me and actually my entire group that I play with. You create a character, of course, and then you build a backstory for it. And then once you built that backstory, you now live forward as that person. So like I said, I have a guy named Rooster Johnson. He is one of the biggest criminals in the city. You'd never know it. He is a businessman. He's straightforward. He's basically a snake oil salesman. You know, on the surface, he looks like he's just a regular businessman, and underneath, he is doing all of the crime. He is helping chop and boost cars. He is running guns. He is running drugs. Like, he is making money hand over fist, and everyone's just like, he's just a really successful businessman.
Well, did you see, this is actually a true story. This one guy, he got portraying himself as a businessman, and he sold solar dryers for like $50. Mm. And this was back in like 1970, 80s.
Solar, like, go ahead. I got to hear this now.
And he got sued because somebody would send him $50 and he would send him a clothesline.
Yeah, that's Rooster. That's a Rooster move right there.
They tried to sue him, and they're like, he didn't technically lie. You got exactly what he said. It's a solar dryer.
Mm-hmm. That's a Puerto Rican dryer right there, bro. That's what I would call that.
That's a poor dryer.
That's what.
But he did have to stop selling his solar dryer. So he did have to stop calling it the solar dryer.
Could you imagine if Elon Musk did that?
But he got away with it for like a year, and people are like, got pissed off, and it was a class action suit, and they tried to get the money back. It's like, well, technically, he didn't lie.
Yeah, no.
He told you exactly what he said he was going to tell you. So when you describe the rooster guy, it's like, that sounds exactly like.
Yeah. Now, Rooster is a son of a bitch, though. He's super nice, but he will fucking cut you. He carries a 357 Magnum and a switchblade, and you do not want to fuck with him. He is a tow truck operator, and he will defend his territory.
Speaking of tow trucks, I gotta bring this up because we talked about it offline. You gotta give me the name and the motto of your towing company, because you have a towing company in your town, right?
Yeah, yeah. I have Johnson's Towing Service.
Your territory, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has to hear this because this is fucking hilarious.
Okay, so again, you're supposed to be living in the RP as if it is real life, right? You know, yeah. And so there's marketing and advertising that goes into running a successful business. And so Rooster's Towing Service, Johnson's Towing Services, has two taglines. The main one is, because he drives a big purple tow truck, if it's big and purple, it's got to be a Johnson. And the second one that we run at night is Johnson's Towing Service, our pullout game is strong.
Jesus fucking Christ. Jesus Christ.
Love it.
Could you imagine you're like behind on a payment and his fucking car shows up?
Oh yeah, because I got rims on it too. I got big ass fucking rims on the tow truck.
And it's purple.
Oh my.
Yeah, and it's purple.
And it's purple.
Oh my god.
So you see a purple tow truck, you're like, I give.
Oh god.
Hey, but if the tow truck shows up, you might be able to get some coke or some weed or some guns too from him. So, you know.
In the game. In real life, you have to call a number.
Yeah.
You ask for a rooster.
Yeah, that plug ain't pulling you out of nothing. It's funny, too, because you mentioned Cat Williams, because Rooster actually sounds like a Dollar Tree version of Cat Williams.
A Dollar Tree? Wait, how? Go ahead. I got to hear this one. Go ahead.
Well, my name is Rooster Johnson, and I'm going to tell you everything there is to know about surviving in this city.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It sounds like it's a Cat Williams from Wish.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I felt Dollar Tree was a little more accurate, but yeah.
God.
Oh, Rooster God, actually yeah. started as a character on my show.
Andrew Tate, and the guy comes in, look, Andrew Tate. And then he starts dancing, and he goes like, you're Andrew Fake.
Have you ever seen that, the bottom G?
The bottom G, yeah.
You know who Andrew Tate is, right?
Yeah.
You've heard of him, yeah. So there's this dude that, now I have to show this to him. There's this dude named King Batch, right? King Batch is he started out on those vines and whatnot, right? So King Batch has which shout out to King Batch, he's liked like a few of our videos, and yeah. he's super nice. He works a lot with a friend of ours called Ian Edwards. King Batch has like, it's a short or a video. I'm gonna try to find it here. Where basically it's this dude that his nickname is the Bottom G, right? And basically what it is, it's like a Andrew Tate, if Andrew Tate wasn't such a you know, whiskey and bitches and shit like that, or whatever the fuck. Like I don't know. Like, instead of a fighter, if he was a dancer, you know, like a ballerina dancer that just is very, very flexible. And yeah, like that's pretty much what it is. So they did this video. I'm trying to find it. King Batch, let me see. Bottom.
So basically, he's Andrew Tate if he wasn't overcompensating for a small penis.
Some shit. Like, there it is. There it is. There it is. Okay, I'll show it. We can share this one because we've shared it before. King Batch approved it last time.
Oh, okay.
So share screen. Yeah, see, we'll show you here, right here. Yeah. So it's this one right here.
What kind of car you want to drive? Bugatti. And what you want to do in life?
So that's Ian Edwards, our homie. Shout out to Ian. I think he's working on like a special right now and whatnot. Oh, he's super funny.
Smoke cigars on a yacht with 100 women that can't look me in the eye.
And I got just the guy that'll help us do that.
All
right. So hold on. Looks pretty fucking.
Looks pretty similar.
Mm-hmm. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Even the build, the shoes, and everything, right? Hold on one moment. I love that. Yeah, he's like, you're not Andrew Tate, you Andrew Fake. Could you imagine, bro, that you pay top money to meet Andrew Tate and that dude shows up and just starts dancing on you and pulls out a stripper pole? Like, do you hear us there? You see it?
No,
oh.
I hear you.
Yeah. He didn't find that funny, Eric. I don't know how to feel about that, Colt.
It's not odd enough for me. I'm sorry.
It's not your thing. So I gotta ask you, and this is a question I actually have had for you for a while. What is your favorite conspiracy? And by favorite, I mean the conspiracy that you're like, yeah, this one makes the most sense to me because of XYZ reasons. Like, out of all the ones that you know and you've covered, which one's probably your favorite one?
See, I take all conspiracies with a grain of salt, though. That's the issue that we'll run into. The one that I understand why people think is the most plausible,
mm-hmm.
Is Blue Beam.
Project Blue Beam. Eric, do you know that?
So what Project Bluebeam is it's actually a collection of conspiracies all kind of wrapped into one. And it the thesis of it is that at some point the federal government will use holographic technology to create an event, whether it be Jesus coming back or aliens or something like that. That is the one that I understand why most people find plausible. Because like I said, it is a collection of conspiracy theories all kind of rolled together. You've got HARP involved with it. You've got weather manipulation involved with it. You've got shit that they did back in Vietnam, like to try
the LSD and, stuff.
Yep. That too, to try and flood out.
We know guys that served in Vietnam that like that they were there for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know a few guys. They won't. I don't know how you've ran into this, but like Vietnam guys are hard to get on a show or to talk to, man. They'll talk to you like on a cigar, but like, we know guys that like they've told us, they're like, dude, I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know of guys that while they were serving in Vietnam were smoking Thai sticks with weed and cocaine.
Yeah. Well, and the big thing is too, is like those soldiers are the ones that, you know, pretty much the American people abandoned, you know, like every other war, when the soldiers come back, there's usually like a ticker tape parade and, you know, yay, our boys are home and all that. Vietnam was a different thing though. and they weren't shown any respect. And, you know, I don't want to get into my full belief of, you know, the armed services and the government and everything like that. But, you know, they still had the courage to go over there and do what was needed of them. And the American people kind of shit on the Vietnam vets when they came back. They never had done that before, and they haven't done it since, really.
I think, so here's the thing, man, is I think everybody really shits on vets. And by everybody, let me rephrase that, not everybody. I think that the majority of people really don't care. And I'll tell you why, right? And this is something I've said before, and I've presented it before, is like everybody cares about veterans. And I'll say this, and we can engage in this a little bit, because this is just from our experience, right? And I know you feel like this because we've talked about this. Yeah, is there's 3 to 4 days that people care about veterans. It's normally Memorial Day, 4th of July, because everybody wants to feel fucking patriotic. You know, patriotic. Thanksgiving, and then after that, sometimes during the holidays. Veterans Day, my bad. So maybe 5, right? Hmm. And the problem is that everybody, like, if you look at the Iraq war, right, which we actively participated in, like, a lot of the shit that we did for the Iraq war was, like, real bullshit. Like, it was real bullshit. And part of the problem is that a lot of people that are starting to realize that, like, they look at, like, I've always said, man, that combat veterans in 10, 20 years are going to be treated like criminals, because everything's going to come out of the shit that the government did that wasn't true. Because you know how it is. You have a podcast on this. Things get declassified over the years. And then it's just like, and my experience has not been a positive one. This is why one of the things that I tell people, like, most people don't even know that I was a combat vet. Like, there's people, Eric's seen it. Like, people don't know that Eric's been in fucking operations too. Because it's just like, man, I've never had a positive. Let me rephrase that. I rarely have a positive experience when people find out about that. And when I talk to the Vietnam guys and I see how they talk, I go, oh, at least they were doing that to your face. I have people that they'll say something, and then behind back doors, they'll be like, fuck the veterans and this like that. And it's like, dude, like, you can be honest about it. Like, that's just been our experience with it, man. That's no, it's rough.
I understand that fully. My only issue when it comes to the armed services is that I just wish they were honest about why they were over there. I don't feel that it's for fighting for our freedoms. You're fighting for the pocketbooks of the people who are too shit scared to go do it themselves.
I think at first it was because you got to remember the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. And we were operating on a feeling. We're like, somebody has to pay for this. So I think the intentions were good because the feelings were high. It's like, nobody does this to us. Nobody.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to pay. So I think at first...
But
the intentions were good.
So but like, now 20 years,
we did it to us. Correct. 20 years later, we find out we did it to us.
Well, we had intelligence that we knew that was happening, and we ignored it. And mm-hmm. I know that for a fact, because Colonel Schaefer, the guy who fucking we're going to have on, I had that conversation with him, and he said it. He goes, we were advising the president that we knew this was coming. We just didn't do shit about it for whatever reason it may be, which I don't know.
Oh, I know.
No, I get what you're saying. The feeling of it. Yeah. But it's like, and where was the weapons of mass destruction? I mean,
they were sitting in Washington.
See, Cheney said there was weapons of mass destruction over there, describing all this stuff. And he shoots a lawyer in the face and doesn't get sued.
Well, that's, you know.
No, nobody else. If you shoot somebody in the face, not only that, he got the lawyer to apologize on TV and not get sued.
Oh, God.
Well, and you mispronounced it.
How powerful are you to do that? Okay.
Go ahead.
Everybody blames Bush. I was like, oh, you think Bush had the power? Oh, no.
Well, here's the thing, too. And you missed.
Hold on. Go ahead, Odd.
You mispronounced it too. It's weapons of mass distraction.
Ooh, bars. I like it. Weapons of mass distraction. I like it.
That's all it is. Every time something big happens, my first instinct is to go look and see what else is happening. Because I can't. I don't believe the puppet show.
Yeah.
No, you're very true. Because they were. because they're doing all that stuff at the border, and they're cutting the razor wire and everything else. And like, why are they bringing so much attention to that? What do they not want to
see? Hold on, one thing at a time. We'll get wild. We'll get wild. We can talk about the border. I don't care. We've talked about it. But no, that's going back to the conspiracy. That's interesting, because I was just reading up on it while you two were talking there, and like, it's yeah, I think that's the only way you could unite everybody on Earth. Because it's like, you know, what's that saying? The enemy, what's that American saying? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you have one person that you can go gang up against and everybody has to unite, like, yeah.
Well, and comic book nerds have seen it before. Watchmen. The way the Watchmen graphic novel ends is exactly what we suspect may be coming.
Marvel Civil War.
Yeah,
when the government got involved and was like, you need to be a part of this, and we need to have your, what's the other one? Marvel and no, DC hasn't had one of those, I think. I can't recall. No, I don't think DC. I don't know. It might have. I'm not versed on DC, but in anime, there's always anime solo leveling. Solo in anime, and this is the one that I wanted you to watch, because is it, so have you heard of this one, Odd? Have you heard of this anime?
I'm not super big into anime, but what's the name of it?
It's called solo leveling. And no, what it is,
conspiracy theories in anime.
No. Listen to this one. So solo leveling, I just finished reading it. Solo leveling, spoiler alert, if you don't want to know, because it just came out there on episode 3. If you're into anime, stop fucking watching this right now, because I'm about to spoil solo leveling. Okay. Basically what happened is that these people awakened powers that they can go through these gates. And then the government gets involved, and the government says, well, we need to distribute this evenly. And everybody, when they awaken their powers, well, it goes class S, A, B, C, D, E, right? S is the highest or whatever the fuck. And then
the government loves their class system, don't they?
And then you have to have a license to be a hunter, right? And then you go through. But then here's the thing. Now the government is irrelevant in the series. Because you have guys that could literally trample countries with their abilities, but now they're being given preferential treatment under this class system. So it's like, you see that all the time. That's why I love when like people are like, oh, anime is just for kids and stuff like that. Like, bro, anime tackles way more. I mean, not that other cartoons don't, like they do, but not at the level that and the impact that anime does. Like Naruto, for example, Naruto's about children of war and child trafficking. Mm-hmm. Like, the fuck you think they're teaching those kids in the Ninja Academy? They're teaching them how to murder other people.
Well,
and
that's
like,
why
you know,
when people shit on like Marvel going woke or all these other series, I was like, motherfucker, did you watch TV back in the 80s?
Read a comic book?
Well, no, just media in general. Let's talk TV and movies. Have you watched movies from the 80s? Have you watched TV shows from the 80s? They all were tackling heavy and weighty topics. The same fucking ones that we have to tackle today, because you fucking people won't get it.
Yeah, this is one for y'all. I don't know much. I don't know much, because you guys know, you guys are older than me, so you might be able to relate to that. Like, mine's is 90s and 2000s, what I can relate to.
But they were still doing it then, too.
Can you give me an example? Can you guys give me an example?
So late 80s, early 90s, I think TGIF was still a thing at that point on ABC. Think about the shows like Family Matters. Think about Perfect Strangers and shit like that. They were tackling issues about immigration, race, gender, sexuality, all of this.
Even Cops, like Family Matters, even did a few episodes on just the way cops are perceived, because the dad in Family Matters was a cop.
Which one is Family Matters?
It's one with the
Urkel.
Oh, mine didn't do okay. I'm tracking. Okay, keep going.
So, and they're like, because they did a lot of stuff that was, I mean, it was a funny show, but there was a few shows that they would dip into.
Yeah. Full House did it too. Full House had weightier issues.
Yeah.
What issues did Full House cover?
Full House would typically end up covering a lot of the issues that young girls would have to go through. They also were one of the first shows that ever showed a widower, you know, the challenges that it takes to raise a family, and that he had to reach out to.
Reach out to his family. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why everybody moved in, because he lost his wife.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah, the whole woke thing is
the concept. If somebody explained it to you, it's like, hey, how about we do a comedy about a guy who loses his wife? It's like, that doesn't sound
funny. It's really sad too. Some of those shows are sad as fuck. Uh-huh. I didn't think about it.
But you have to pitch that idea to somebody, and somebody goes like, I like where you think. I like what you think.
And then they pick up Bob Saget.
Yeah, and then they pick up Bob Saget.
My whole thing, though, is like this woke movement drives me nuts when people shit on it. It's like, okay, so the problem with being woke is you don't want people to be decent human beings, right? You don't want people to take other people into consideration. You want them to just be selfish, self-centered assholes that if it doesn't affect them, it doesn't matter. And look where that's gotten us.
I think some of the... How do I say this? I think some of the problems, like when people utilize the word woke, because like to me, woke back in the day was someone who was like trying to like shed light into like some issues. And I think a lot of times, and this is something that as an interpreter for me, for example, I see it a lot because people want to change the meaning of words a lot. And it's something that like as an interpreter, it's fucking irritating, because as an interpreter, clearly the way that you would do something, if you want to utilize a word, right, you would have to look at the context, the culture, and the meaning of what it is, right? And that's just the form, you know, the context, the culture, and the meaning that's behind the word, and then you know what word to utilize. And I think like nowadays it's like woke used to mean that they would talk about like systemical issues and shit like that. Nowadays it's like they've made it into like a bad thing. Here's another one that I'll give y'all is
woke. It just seems like it's like you should be a bunny.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. Nowadays that's what I'm saying, that it bunny. We've it's changed. Like people, yeah.
I don't think people realize that people aren't nice given a choice. No, I'm serious.
I am.
I'm just saying, most people given a choice.
Yeah. They're not very nice. That's why video games are. That's what I love about video games. Cole, yeah. Here's a conspiracy that I wanted to touch upon you. And I don't think it's really, I wouldn't say it's a conspiracy. Do you remember when World of Warcraft had that virus that was eliminating players? Like if you touch it and it spread, mm-hmm. You remember that, right? You know where I'm going with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they studied that and the effects, and you had like a bunch of players that were like purposely getting other people sick, or like, and it was in World of Warcraft. I don't remember, but World of Warcraft had an incident where someone got like a virus, and it would like kill you within a certain amount of time. And yep. Then you saw how literally online all of these people were trying to help each other. And like no one ever has ever brought that up again. And like I remember this because I was like, oh, that's shitty. Going, like,
find out they got it and they tried to touch as many people as they could.
Yeah, they were trying to spread it as yeah. And that was like on a video game too. What do you think of that shit? Because that was like really weird. I remember when that happened. I was younger.
I think given the opportunity, without a massive mindset change, there will be more people that will try to spread said virus than try to protect against said virus. And I don't really want to dive into it, but I think 2020 taught us a lot about people. Okay. So.
But we forgot about that.
No. No, some of us have not. That's the other thing too, is like society's fucking memory is terrible. Like everyone should be checked for Alzheimer's at this point, right? Because
you realize they do psychological studies on this stuff all the time, and they know exactly how people will react.
That's what I'm saying with the World of Warcraft thing. They had psych, because I remember reading a periodical when this came out years ago, was they actually studied like people's reactions, because it's pretty human, you know. It's a person playing a game. And if you give people the chance to do whatever, some people will just choose to murder and fucking shoot people. Yeah, that's the thing. So that's why I say, yeah.
Study in 1970-ish, something like that. Mm-hmm. You had a group of volunteers, college students, and they were picked at random, people that were guards and people that were inmates.
I know what you're talking about. Keep going.
And guess what happened? Exactly what you think would happen. People with perceived power treated the people with no power.
The Stanford experiment.
Yeah.
The Stanford experiment. Yeah.
I didn't remember.
Yeah. That's a wild one.
Exactly how people's going
to
react.
Yeah, that's a wild one. Yeah, that's a wild one to me.
Just recently, I saw.
It's not crazy to see people do weird stuff or stuff in COVID.
You can't say the C word. That's the other C word.
Oh, the virus.
Go ahead, Odd.
Just recently, I saw a TikTok video from a guy who was incarcerated during when they sent out all the stimulus checks. And he was talking about how originally they were trying to block the inmates from being able to collect the stimulus checks, even though that they were well within their right to do so. And he said once the blockades were removed and the money got on everyone's books, he said the entire attitude of the prison changed. He said there were less fights. There were less arguments. Shit that would have normally gotten someone shanked or beat up was just let go. Like, it's no big deal. You know, and he said, it's interesting that when you look at things from the scope of everyone having their needs met, how nice everyone can become.
Yeah, the problem also is that I know what you're talking about. The problem is also that that's something that I struggle with a lot when like people talk about like basic needs and stuff like that. Cause like the hierarchy, you're talking about the hierarchy, right? Your three hierarchies, like being able to sleep or whatever the fuck. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know how that would work if everybody had like their most basic stuff. Me. Yeah, but it's not. But you also got to get butt. You could also get butt fucked. So I'm just saying. It could work. Maybe. I don't know. I would like to study that more. I'd like to see more studies on that.
Ever since what was his? Andrew Yang.
Andrew who?
Andrew Yang, when he was running for president. Yang was the guy talking about the universal basic income.
The what?
Universal basic income is basically
someone translate.
a paycheck that you get from the government every month for existing.
You mean like
if you're a citizen,
hold on. Let me ask this. You mean like what's it called? The food stamps program. What's it called?
EBT.
EBT? EBT?
Along that line.
But everybody would qualify?
Everyone over the age of 18 would qualify.
I feel stupid not knowing this. And you have to be an American citizen if I'm not mistaken. Okay, yeah. So what happened? Go ahead.
The idea was this, is everyone over the age of 18 would get a set amount of money a month from the government. I believe it was $1,000, something like that. Andrew Yang was a mathematician that wanted to run for president. He also eventually became known as an economist and everything else. But his idea was that $1,000 for every adult would put $2,000 base income into everybody's house a month after the UBI was set up. And at that point, anything else, it was basically a safety net at that point. Because think about it. I don't know how well your job pays or anything like that, but most people are living paycheck to paycheck. One catastrophe, that is all it takes to bankrupt most American households at this point. And his thought was having that base level of income would provide a safety net of sorts. So if something does go wrong, the money is there and they're not scrambling or, you know, feeling like they're stuck in their jobs and whatnot, that they have that safety net to fall back on so they can get out of toxic work environments and shift to somewhere that might not be as toxic and whatnot. So the idea was the universal basic income is a way to keep Americans safe and not have to worry as much.
I think the problem with that, and this is new to me, and I see that you're more versed, so I'll let you talk in a minute. The problem.
You're worried that everybody would be lazy.
No. Fuck no. No. Because not every. No. No. I don't think that. I think people. I'll say this with a grain of salt. I think most people, it isn't that they're lazy. It's just that they feel stuck and they feel helpless. And then they basically go, well, fuck it. It is what it is. And that's a mindset that you can change even right now. It's just difficult. And like, you know, you have to start as a kid. Like there's a million things I can get into. I think with something like that, there are so many things that you would have to fix before that. Like healthcare would have to be fixed. Because if you did that, but healthcare was still shit, then I don't think it would go anywhere. So I think there's so many things that we would have to fix systemically. that it wouldn't work right now. I think the way that that would work is like kind of like what Japan does. Like Japan has something similar to that. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not working or you're taking time to create a family, like this is a thing. Like I know this for a fact. Like the government gives you like a bare bones things like food, water, a place to sleep or whatever, you know? So like everything else, it's like, you know, extra. So it's like, I don't think that would work right now. I think the first thing we would have to change is like the healthcare. I think that's the first thing. Does that make, Eric, go ahead.
You got 100%. Something.
That would make sense because the price of, the only thing it's shot up higher than medical costs is the cost of college. It's true. Look it up.
And those degrees are worthless practically.
Yeah, how dare you say that, good sir?
Yeah, you to get.
I said practically.
Weaving. There's only so many places you can work. Is all.
You're trying to tell me that there's not a lot of places that my gender studies are needed for? How dare you?
Well, you can always work for the day.
But they tried to, I got a smile there.
But they tried to in Switzerland or someplace like that, Denmark, did universal, and most people became comfortable.
Yeah, but it's the Swiss. Have you been to Switzerland? Of course you fucking been to Switzerland. Would you want to work in Switzerland? Would you just want to nut in your hot wife every single day?
You know, with OnlyFans, you can do both.
What happened?
What'd you say, old cult?
With OnlyFans, you can do both.
No, don't go there. Don't.
I'm just saying they got rid of it because it didn't work.
Don't go there. Don't go there. God, no. Don't go there. We
it's just like, I forget which country it was. They make Smirnoff vodka.
I can pull that up if you want. I forget which country. Go ahead. Keep going. I got you.
Anyway, it was run by the government. The government made vodka.
Smirnoff vodka. Yeah, I mean, Moscow. I think it's Russia.
So you know what happened? They privatized it, and they became profitable.
Oh God! Yep, Moscow by Pinochet and Smirnoff, and then it was manufactured in Illinois. Wow, Illinois! God, out of all the states,
Russian vodka from Illinois.
Russian vodka for that's.
So I'm just saying, when government gets involved doing something, everybody knows that government can't do anything fast.
What? How dare you? Look at the VA system.
You just proved his point.
Well.
They can't do anything well.
Come on, man. Throw me a curve. Throw me a ball here or something. Fuck. Yeah,
when you're right, I will.
When you're
right. They can't do it fast. They can't do it well.
What? You're telling me that all those veterans that are waiting?
No, they don't care about how much money they spend, including wasting it. Because the only thing they worry about is the fiscal year in October when they like, hey, we got extra money, we got to spend it. It's like, well, let's get pencils for everybody or whatever they do.
Colt, what would you do?
Company pizza party.
Yeah, company pizza.
Oh, bro.
They would do something with it because they have to spend the money.
Here's one for the veterans. Mandatory fun day. It's wild, dude. Oh,
and
odd.
It's worse if you have money left over, like I was in aviation. So if we have fiscal year coming up and go like we got gas money, we gotta spend. Oh shit.
Yeah, so you gotta.
We're doing every day. We're flying every day, and we're doing like night ops, day ops. So we can burn up the money for the gas because we can't use it for anything else. You can't take the gas and say, well, we really could use some new tools. They're like, no, this is for gas.
So what you're telling me is that there's a pizza fun day fund?
No.
That would be awkward.
I'm just saying if money is allocated for something, it has to be spent on that. And then so you work for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks straight once they realize they have money left over.
So what you're telling me is that Senate has money for OnlyFans since they're buying those on the
well,
that
one
well, the school districts do the same thing. My mother used to work for the school district near me. And one of the things that she would tell me is every year they would get their funding. And, you know, she had said that, you know, some years that they had everything they needed, but still had money left over. That is why you see the textbooks change as much as they do, is because it's an excuse to spend money. You know, they are not allowed to, like, say they're given $30,000 for the year, right? So, yeah. You know, just a ballpark number. If they spend $25,000 and have $5,000 left over, They can't hold on to that to add to the next year, because if they don't spend it, the following year they get 25,000.
Yeah, the military did the same shit. We had a I remember 1 year
where do you think the indoctrination model came from?
For the schools and stuff like that? Oh God, we can be here for hours talking about that, cuz it's not like schools prepare you for life. That's why I laugh, dude. Like when I went to high school, like at least for me, like going to high school, like we got taught like how to close a checking account, how to open one, how to file taxes, what taxes meant. Yeah, we had that when I went to school. When I graduated in 2005.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know what the whole
lifetime class or something.
It was something similar.
I remember that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
That's true.
McDonald's will not give you a cheeseburger if you tell them that either. It doesn't work. I've tried.
Hey man, we've already talked enough about McDonald's in this podcast. McDonald's is basically pro democracy. Why do you think every single country we invade gets a McDonald's?
Because slave labor is alive and well.
Everywhere McDonald's goes.
Why do you think they don't have them in North Korea, bro? You'd be getting instead of a McRib, you'd be getting a. No, I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna say that.
That's because the leadership in North Korea doesn't want the competition.
That's true.
Who else is gonna kill those dogs? No, I can't.
They're losing jobs.
If they did that, do you think that they would like name, like you know how they put the name of the cow? Do you think they would put the name of the dog when you eat it and they put a picture of it? Like
fucking Rusty's delicious.
Sparky's delicious. Beethoven? Oh my God.
Beethoven would be a burger. It'd be a rollover.
Oh God. That's so bad. You're going to hell for that one.
No, I've been going to hell for a long time before that.
They did that in South Korea. Did you hear about that in South? It's called Kulgogi. So it's like there, we will no longer be killing dogs. And I'm like, y'all, we're still doing that? Like, oh my God.
No, now we're letting them die of natural causes. Then we eat them.
And then we cook them.
Did you kill him? No,
he's not at all.
Bones, but I didn't
kill him. The car did.
Oh God. Odd, it's been fun having you, man. We're towards the end of our thing. First of all, thank you for coming. I greatly appreciate you doing this, man. It's been nice. We've been working on this for a while, trying to get you on, and I know you've been doing pretty good lately and stuff. Can you give everybody the details or where they can find you and how they can subscribe and all this other stuff, brother?
And tell us how wonderful Rico podcast.
No, stop.
You know, coming on to the Rico podcast made my dick 6 inches longer. So you should do it too. It works better than any dick pill you'll ever find.
You have to subscribe for it to work though.
Yeah. You got to make sure you give them money. Otherwise it doesn't work. And in fact, if you watch it and don't give them money, they actually take 6 inches from you.
So be careful.
Rico Weason is just great.
Close it out, Eric.
Thank you so much. Please give us your deeds.
Okay. So,
whatever.
Honestly, just search Cult of Odd. I have ingrained enough SEO into everything that I do that if you Google Cult of Odd, you're going to find us. We're on YouTube, Instagram, iTunes, Spotify. We've got a merch store. You can find us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Cult of Odd. I do video game streaming. We also do the podcast every Wednesday. We just started a new branch of the cult. It is called Cult of Odd Presents Case Closed. My wife is doing a show now on true crime. We just did our first episode this past Wednesday. It is on the Chris and Shanann Watts case. We dropped part one. That'll be available on YouTube, but it's available everywhere else right now. Other than that, man, yeah, just Google Cult of Odd. You'll fucking find me.
Sweet. Like to hear that. Thanks again for being here. We appreciate it.
Brother, stick around and we'll just do the closing out here, man. We'll talk a little more. To everybody that's following us, thank you so much for doing this. Please go ahead and follow the Rico Podcast on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Instagram. We're trying to go ahead and grow that. Right now, we're currently doing ad space. We're currently hitting about 60 to 100,000 views a month. We're currently offering ad space. If you'd like to have some ad space with us, we are open for some sponsors. There's specific things that we're looking for, but we're also willing to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for following this, and go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And remember, go ahead and like our homie of the Cult of Odd over there and show him some love. Thank you so much for joining us.